a state dinner at Jerusalem's King David Hotel tonight. Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, host to Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, the culmination of a day the Middle East has never seen before. Sadat daring the anger of his more militant Arab allies, daring even declared threats upon his life by the most reactionary, went to Israel on a solo mission of peace. To the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, he declared an earnest desire for the birth of a new era. And to this state dinner, Begin himself also declared a birth.
May I announce the happy news that today a grandchild was born to President Assad in Cairo.
Symbolic perhaps, hopeful certainly, but like any new start, a life or a journey, it can lead in many directions with a destination unknown until the road has been traveled a while. Good evening, I'm Bob Schieffer. Jerusalem, the holy city of three major faiths, went to bed tonight with hearts more hopeful of peace than ever before in the existence of modern Israel. All the result of the electrifying visit of Sadat in Israel.
This is a CBS News special report. Sadat in Israel. Sponsored on a continuing basis by the makers of Herbal Tegrin Shampoo.
Sadat plans to return to the Knesset tomorrow morning for 2 hours of meetings with three different political groups. That will be followed by a joint news conference with Begin at noon, Israeli time, before his scheduled return to Egypt 3 hours later. If nothing else was accomplished by this trip, Sadat has declared for the first time a recognition of Israel as a nation and her right to exist in the Middle East. And he did so at personal and political peril. And he will go home to Cairo with Begin's declaration that Israel's borders are open to Egyptians and are waiting to be open to all Arab nations. Today was a full and busy one for the first Arab leader ever to openly set foot in Israel. Bert Quint and Bob Simon have the details.
This was expected to be the crucial moment for Sha'ar, Operation Dawn, the code name for the biggest security operation Israel has mounted during a time of relative peace. The Israelis knew it would be difficult to protect the Egyptian president as he made his way among sacred sites in Old Jerusalem. First, it was El Aqsa, the third holiest place of the Muslim religion, a mosque on the spot that is said to have been Muhammad's final destination on his night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. It was here that the grandfather of Jordan's King Hussein was assassinated 26 years ago. The narrow alleys outside are filled with Palestinians, many of whom consider Sadat's visit to Israel a sellout of their cause, a difficult area to police. Praying inside on this Muslim holiday, the day of sacrifice, Sadat was reminded of the pressures that are on him by a sermon that sounded like a personal plea, as the Muslim holy man said, "To abandon Jerusalem would be the same as to destroy Mecca." Sadat wasn't aware of the crowds of Arabs outside the mosque area, struggling to get in, some to pray with him, some to heckle him. But he got the message of the Palestinians as he walked the short distance from Al-Aqsa to another most holy place, the Dome of the Rock. Besides the well-wishers and the newsmen, there were those who crowded in on him to shout again and again, "Remember the Palestinians." As the bells of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre rang out a call for peace, hundreds of Arabs, some pro-Sadat, some shouting, "We don't want you here," marched by. Inside this church, on whose ground Christ was crucified, Sadat prayed with people of different Christian faiths. His prayer, he said later, was for peace. The president had spent the early morning with Muslims and Christians. Now it was a visit to a place of great emotional meaning to the Jews, the memorial to the 6 million Jews killed by the Nazis. The Israeli Prime Minister had urged strongly that he come here.
With this little tour, Begin apparently was trying to convince his guest that Israel exists, not just because the Jews can defend their homeland, but because they have a need and a moral right to it. Bert Quint, CBS News, Jerusalem.
The leader of the Egyptian nation, which is still technically at war with the state of Israel, placed a wreath at the tomb of Israel's unknown soldier today as he prepared to deliver a message of peace. The Knesset, certainly the most informal parliament in the world, greeted President Sadat with pomp and circumstance, a fanfare of trumpets, and an even rarer sound in this institution, applause. It was the first time the house was so full since October 1973, when the Knesset met in emergency session to speak of the war which Anwar Sadat had launched. All the old warriors were there. Yigal Yadin, deputy prime minister now, who led Israel's forces in its war of independence. Foreign Minister Moshe Dayan, who drove the Egyptians from Sinai in 1956. Agriculture Minister Ariel Sharon, who crossed the Suez Canal and almost went to Cairo in 1973. President Sadat said the time has come to tear down the wall of fear and deception which has grown up between Arabs and Israelis. He said, "We the Arabs rejected you in the past. We refused to meet with you, but that has changed. And we now invite you to live amongst us in safety and in peace." President Sadat then outlined the price of peace, total Israeli withdrawal from all occupied territories, including East Jerusalem, recognition of the legitimate rights of the Palestinians, the creation of a Palestinian state. Prime Minister Begin described his vision of peace, open borders, diplomatic relations, friendship between Israel and all its Arab neighbors. He did not argue with Sadat on the question of territory or on the question of a Palestinian state. He said, "Let us negotiate a peace treaty. Everything is negotiable." There was little in either speech which surprised the politicians, who knew that the important talks were taking place behind the scenes and that the real accomplishment of the day was the recognition President Sadat had granted the parliament and the state of Israel. Bob Simon, CBS News, Jerusalem.
As Sadat spoke, the Arabs of Jerusalem listened carefully, for they knew that his words could have a profound effect on their lives. The Egyptian president's attempt to reassure Palestinians of his determination that they have their own state, his denial of charges that he had come here to conclude a separate peace, and his repeated call for a real peace impressed some.
They got the plan for the peace in the Middle East here.
What do you think of it?
What he has said so far is good. I mean, it's fair enough for both.
He's a genie, the man.
A genius.
Brave, have a good courage. He knows exactly what he wants, and I hope he'll succeed.
But here in the old part of the city, where so many Palestinians live under the rule of the Israelis, whom they believe stole their nation from them, the suspicion that Sadat's visit aroused was far from dispelled.
Sadat is coming alone in the name of the Egyptian people, not for the Palestinian people or another country.
I'm not glad because he's here, you know. Our land was taken by fighting and by a big war, so why we should entertain it by war?
For the Israelis, as they watched and listened to Sadat, and then to Prime Minister Begin, as he talked of the possibility of more visits like this, hinting that he would go to Egypt, offering to have the presidents of Syria, of Jordan, of Lebanon come here, there was no doubt that this was an exciting moment. Sadat's proposals for peace might have sounded much like they always have, but somehow the thought of peace did not seem quite so remote as it did before. Bert Quint, CBS News, Jerusalem.
In the most militant of the Arab nations, Libya, Iraq, Syria, Sadat was branded as a traitor today. The pro-Syrian psycho-Palestinian guerrilla group demanded spill the traitor's blood, spit in his face, and vowed to assassinate Sadat. The more moderate Arab nations held back their comment. In Sadat's homeland, the reaction, though mixed, was generally subdued. John Cheyenne has that report.
Though it was a holiday here in Egypt, the direct TV transmissions received from Israel throughout the day attracted fewer people. Nowhere near as many as had clustered around the TV sets in cafes and homes to watch Sadat's arrival in Tel Aviv last night. For many, today's speeches in the Knesset were long and dry. The most common Egyptian reaction? We've heard it all before. This group is not typical of the Egyptian population. They are mostly young, mostly educated. In short, the very people President Sadat and Prime Minister Begin were addressing, the coming generation. They started out very receptive to Sadat's express recognition of Israel's right to exist. But after about 20 minutes, boredom was setting in. It all sounded so familiar. It could have been Sadat addressing his own parliament. For the Egyptians, the electricity of seeing their leader in Israel had lost its voltage. By midway in his address, the president was losing his audience. Half the viewers had left the room. Their reactions to Sadat.
Just a politician's game. It's all fake and phony and brotherhood and all this, but unless it's under it, I don't think there's any meaning.
Has anything changed for you yesterday and today?
Yes.
Much did.
What changed?
I feel it's getting closer to solution. I mean, both parties are really willing to do something.
As Prime Minister Begin appeared on the screen, tea was served, and the young Egyptians listened with half an ear at best. Why?
Well, we don't care what he's got to say, we care what Sadat's got to say. He's the one who's there. And we know what both of them, we know what they're going to say. And Israel has to remain a state, and Israel has to get out of the land and all this. Both just saying things that everybody knows, they're just making it clear and so diplomatic.
What did capture the Egyptian imagination was Prime Minister Begin's invitation to visit Israel. These Egyptians, as some of them said, are anxious to get to know their enemy.
I think I better know whom are we fighting. Why?
How about you? Are you going to Israel?
Yeah, I'd like to go. I think it's a matter of curiosity. Then I decide whether it's good or bad. I don't know. And it depends on their feelings. And if we still feel like enemies, so I give it up.
You know, it's a matter of getting to know your enemy, as you could say. I mean, it's something new, and I'd like to try it, really.
Do you want them to think of you as an enemy?
Well, it's a fact, isn't it?
They also said they hoped Sadat would respond by opening Egypt's borders to Israelis. We asked the obvious. How would you entertain Israeli guests?
In fact, I'll take them to the poor areas here to show them how we suffered from the war. How our economy is coming down so fast. How much we lost in this war. And they will be very surprised, I think.
The majority of Egyptians will go along with whatever peace arrangement Sadat makes. The speeches in the Knesset did not live up to their expectations, but then their expectations were very high. Seeing Sadat go to Israel, some Egyptians thought an agreement might be signed today. What they've learned is that the road to peace is longer than the road to Jerusalem. John Sheehan, CBS News, Cairo.
Palestine Liberation Organization, a group not mentioned by name in either Sadat's or Begin's speech to the Knesset, called for Arab governments to, quote, impose the harshest sanctions against Sadat and isolate his regime. Before those Knesset speeches, Mike Lee in Beirut talked to the PLO leader himself, Yasser Arafat.
Yasser Arafat, the man who more than any other symbolizes the Palestinian struggle against Israel, mobbed with affection as he arrived for a dawn memorial service for slain commandos. In Arabic, Arafat tells his people the shock of the Sadat visit will not influence the Palestinian revolution. And adds Arafat, I challenge Begin and the friends of Begin, a reference to Sadat and the United States. After the graveside rally, I asked Arafat why he opposed Sadat trying to make peace with the Israelis.
Sadat being in Israel today, sir.
No use. They are preparing for nuclear war.
Can we see? Who is preparing for nuclear war?
The Israelis.
And what will you do, sir?
We will continue our struggle to turn ourselves and return back to our homeland.
Arafat declined to comment on whether he was willing to meet with Sadat and discuss the Israeli visit. As the leader of the Palestinian armed struggle, he has reacted to the Sadat trip with anger. As the master political tactician that he is, Arafat has left himself some diplomatic elbow room for days to come. Mike Lee, CBS News, Beirut.
The two world superpowers, the United States and Russia, basically stood on the sidelines through this new phase of Middle East diplomacy, while the U.S. television networks gave broad coverage to the developments. Soviet television pretty much ignored Sadat's speech to the Knesset. Instead, the Soviet Evening News broadcast had a brief report on the heavy security surrounding this trip and more considerable coverage of the hostile Arab reaction to the visit. Here's some of the reaction in the United States, beginning with former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger's assessment of Sadat's speech.
I think they were what one expected, and everything now depends on the private talks. In a public way, both sides were bound to state their formal position.
What do you think is the next step?
I think that Israel and Egypt come to some understanding as to procedure and substance, and then generalize it.
Will there be, you think, a breakthrough here?
I expect that that considerable progress will be made. I'm hopeful.
From your point of view, has anything changed substantively?
Well, I think that the climate changes the substance too, because you really won't get anywhere with substance unless you have a climate. And from that point of view, this was a major breakthrough in a logjam which has really jammed the process of peace in the Middle East for the past 30 years. So I would say that you cannot divorce the atmosphere, the psychology, the whole ambiance from substance. And I don't think it'll be the same after this as it was before.
It has to be kept in balance. I mean, it is important in its own sense, but it also has to be understood, and I think the parties certainly do, and certainly the remarks reflect that, that there's a long way between this meeting and total peace in the Middle East. There is so much that remains yet to be done.
Before Sadat's speech, President Carter attended a prayer service at Washington's First Baptist Church, and there he led prayers for God's help in bringing peace to the Middle East. And after watching the broadcasts of the Knesset speeches, he described them as a contribution to the cause of peace and said it was a moving occasion. Mr. Carter said Sadat and Begin spoke with what he called candor and a spirit of conciliation. In that spirit, he said, we hope and believe it is possible to move toward lasting peace. Well, we'll be back in a minute with more on Sadat in Israel and Walter Cronkite's conversations with the two principals in this Middle East drama. It's really hard to realize how swiftly today's events came to pass. It was just 6 days ago that President Sadat and Prime Minister Begin used American television to bring it all about. Here's how Walter Cronkite reported the story for the CBS Evening News.
I'm just waiting for the proper invitation.
You must get something directly from Mr. Begin, not through the press.
Right, right.
And how would that be transmitted, sir, since you do not have diplomatic relations with Israel?
Why not through our mutual friend, the Americans?
And I will, during the week, ask my friend, the American ambassador to Israel, to find out in Cairo, from his colleague, the American ambassador to Egypt, whether he will be prepared to give us his good offices and transmit a letter from me to President Sadat, inviting him formally and cordially through the good offices of the United States to come to Jerusalem.
Tonight, after those separate interviews, Walter went back to the two principals for a joint interview. It occurred near midnight Israeli time after Begin's state dinner for Sadat.
Do you not feel that as favorable as your communique may be in saying that you've reached this friendship between you, which is indeed a very big achievement, that there's going to be a letdown by your people, Mr. Begin, your people, Mr. Sadat, that you do not come back from this meeting to your people with something specific, something?
No, Mr. Kramer, to the contrary. I think our people are elated. I accompanied the president today when we went to Yad Vashem, with which the president was very impressed, deeply moved. I don't have to say how I felt at the place. But we drove through Jerusalem for nearly 20, 25 minutes. We saw thousands of people. I think they took President Sadat to their heart. And all over you could have seen children with both flags, the Egyptian flag, the Israeli flag, waving to the president and really proclaiming, we want peace with you. So well, people still live in that spirit of elation. I don't think there will be any letdown.
You don't think the elation will be deflated by
there is
the
no reason whatsoever. We shall continue our dialogue.
There will be trials from others to try and picture the whole thing as deflated. But my main concern really was to convey the message my people to Israel. I have conveyed it in the Knesset today, And immediately after that, in the streets and in the hotel here, I found the reaction at once. For that, I'm telling you that really in rather a short time like this, such results like this are marvelous, really.
Yeah. Do you have any idea how soon you might be able, or you think the situation will be proper for you to get together again?
I am only a prime minister. He sits a president. Mm-hmm.
We shall be discussing this after this meeting, the future steps. And as Premier Begin stated correctly, that we should prepare perfectly for Geneva before starting work there. And that is, I think, our main concern.
What is the next step now toward getting to Geneva, now that you've come together in this friendly spirit? How do you get the rest of the countries together? How will you settle this matter of Palestinian representation?
I hope we shall be in touch, and we shall continue the dialogue at any place, wherever the president decides and suggests to us.
Did you come to any agreement on Palestinian representation, the stumbling block to Geneva?
We may, yes. We shall discuss it.
We shall be having also President Carter with us.
Yes.
In the next phase.
Do you expect a meeting between the three of you with President Carter?
No. Contacts.
I've received today a very fine personal message from President Carter. I think also President Sadat will receive very soon a message. So we shall be in touch and continue. The key word is continuation, Mr. Kerngert. You can't solve all the problems in 24 hours.
In spite of the drama, the excitement, the hopes raised by Sadat in Israel, basic problems remain. Sadat did not waver from the Arab demand that Israel surrender lands occupied after the 1967 war, the third of four such Arab-Israeli conflicts in the last three decades. Nor did Sadat waver from the Arab demand that the Palestinians be given the opportunity to establish their own state. As he put it, in all truth, I tell you that peace cannot be achieved without the Palestinians. Former Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir had once called a Palestinian state a knife in the back of Israel. But Begin did not yield the Israeli position. He did say, though, that everything must and can be negotiated. No side will present preconditions. And there the situation stands, tough basic issues to be resolved. Nevertheless, there has been a symbolic breakthrough. Sadat said that mutual mistrust has been 70% of the problem. His visit to Israel dispelled some of that. As Israeli Ambassador Dennett said in Washington, things now cannot be the same anymore. Well, our coverage of Sadat in Israel, including the highlights of the joint news conference with Begin, will resume on the CBS Morning News. I'm Bob Schieffer, CBS News, New York. Good night.